You are listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. Welcome to the Mindful Aging Show, where we explore the connection between health, mindful aging, and aging gracefully to give you information to make choices that educate and empower you to be your best advocate and live your life fully. My name is Sebra B., and I'm the host of the show. The goal of the Mindful Aging Show is to identify and define mindful aging from your perspective and put it into action for you to live a life that you value. With this show, I want to explore mindful aging and find out how we really do that. I also want to talk about education, empowerment, and advocacy, and how you can take action. When we talk about being mindful, the first thing that comes to mind is focusing, being in the moment, meditating, or just slowing down. But I want to add another definition, and that definition is being fully focused. So today, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about change and what it might mean to you, and also to be fully focused as your own health advocate. So first, I want to say a little bit about change in reference to this wonderful solar eclipse that everybody is waiting for. I know in some parts of the country, I think it's already started. But here, we're going to go through a solar eclipse, like I said, which everybody is excited about. And when I think about, you know, how the moon is going to pass in front of the sun for just a few moments, think about it. They become one. They're two separate entities becoming one. Two changes become one event, one moment in time. And then they go back to being the sun and the moon. And that really kind of represents a form of change to me. So I want to read you a little bit about change. I want to read to you a little something about change and embracing change. This is called Embracing Change, and it's by Ralph Marston. And it's from something that he has online called The Daily Motivator. But this is back from April of 2005. And I was listening online to various people talking about the eclipse and, you know, the eclipses that we've had before. And one of the people online mentioned that there was an eclipse in April of 2005. And I thought, oh, my goodness. All right. I'm trying to think, well, what was I doing in 2005? And when I thought back, there were some definite changes in my life happening in that year. So when I look at what happened, I had to embrace some of the things that were happening. Some of it was what I thought was not in my control, and other parts of that change were in my control. But here's what Ralph Marston says about change and embracing change. He says, "Here is something of which you can be certain. The world will be a different place tomorrow than it is today. From moment to moment, hour to hour, month to month, year to year, things change. Sometimes the changes are dramatic and you can't help but see them. Other times, changes are more subtle. Yet, they're just as potentially influential. Change itself, it's really neither good nor bad. It is simply a fact of life. The situations that are brought about by change can certainly be good, bad, or more often a combination of both. Yet, change itself is neutral. As such, it can become either a powerful, positive tool or a cruel oppressor, depending entirely on how you respond to it and make use of it. There's something in every person that welcomes change and also something that fears change. You welcome change because you know it can make your life better. You fear change because you know it can be a challenging and risky situation. You are correct, actually, on both counts. Nothing happens without change. Things cannot get better without change. Change is absolutely essential to the living, breathing, dynamic existence called life. In a biological sense, Change is fundamental to the very definition of life, and in change, there is risk. Change brings the element of the unknown. Change upsets the status quo and can erode your sense of security. Change is opportunity. Encased in that opportunity is the opportunity to succeed as well as the opportunity to fail. And change is inevitable. It will happen if you let it happen. It will also happen if you resist it. The strategy for successful living, then, is to acknowledge and embrace change, to find the positive possibilities in changes, and to manifest those possibilities. Opportunity doesn't exist without change, though most people say they would welcome opportunity. Far fewer people are open to the real and substantive change. Yet, to take advantage of opportunity, you have to be open to change. There's no other way. Real, meaningful opportunity is not a free ride. It's a challenge. A big part of the challenge is change. Opportunities are all too often portrayed as something for nothing. In reality, there is no such thing. Opportunity involves effort, and a big part of that effort comes about through change. Changing your attitude, changing your perspective, changing your thinking, changing your actions. You must manage and respond to change so that it will work for you rather than against you. That is how you take advantage of opportunities. When you put yourself on the side of change, when you work with it rather than against it, you get the powerful momentum of change moving in your favor. It's futile to fight against compelling changes and far more productive to find a way to make them work for you. Though change is an essential part of life, it is not everything. As with most other things of value and power, change works best when it is well balanced. In order to truly benefit from change, there must be a part of you that remains steady. As strange as it might seem at first, to effectively embrace change, it helps immeasurably to be firmly rooted. This is so important. Change also involves letting go. Actually, it almost always involves letting go. That takes courage. It takes faith and confidence. In order to let go of the superficial things, you have something substantial to which you can hold on firmly. And let me say that again. In order to let go of the superficial things, you must have something substantial to which you can hold on firmly. So that's Ralph Marston's talking about change. And like I said, listening to all of the excitement about the eclipse and how it's not going to happen again, you know, for so many years, and how it happened so many years ago, and how the sun and the moon in one moment become the same, but in the next moment, they become something individual, something unique, and something separate. When I look at how we mindfully age, I look at being fully focused. And being fully focused around our health care, for me, takes the ability to be educated and to be empowered to be your own advocate. So like I said, I'm going to focus on us being our own healthcare advocates. According to the website, unitedstatesofhealthcare.com, healthcare self-advocacy is your ability to represent yourself when managing your care in the healthcare system and not only speaking up, but learning about your health and your healthcare. I like that definition because it really is just understanding your position on the healthcare team, which for me is the center. You know, when you're reading anything about how healthcare is supposed to be delivered today, it's called patient-focused or patient-centered healthcare. And there really is a learning component to being your own advocate, because to do it effectively, you have to know the right information about yourself. You have to know what speaking up means. You have to know about your own health. You have to learn about your own health and how it fits into the healthcare system. I think to be your own healthcare advocate, you also have to have self-confidence and, at the very least, just the basic knowledge, like I said, about your own health. And yeah, it sounds like a lot, but I've got some tips for you that I want to share to help you be your own advocate. And also, these tips will help you become an advocate for others if you ever have to. So the first tip that I see is actually knowing yourself. And by knowing yourself, I just mean that you have the ability to identify your needs and understand your rights with your doctor's visits so that you can communicate what's important to you. So you ask me, how do you do that? How do you really understand your rights and identify your needs? Well, the first thing, I think, is to make a plan for yourself before you go to your appointment. And that means be prepared for the visit. How are you going to do that? Well, I think one good way is to make a list of what you want to talk to your doctor about. And when I say your doctor, you know, I mean whoever your provider is. That could be your nurse practitioner, or that could be, you know, a physician's assistant. But on this list, you really should put the issues that are of most importance, because we know when we're going to the doctor now, what are we always told? You know, let's focus on what we're going to talk about now. And you know that the doctors, because of the way the healthcare system works right now, they don't have as much time to spend with you. So you want to prioritize on that list the things that you want to talk about. For example, you know, if you want to talk about, say, some medication that was prescribed, either from a previous visit or if you're going to see this doctor for the first time, some medication that another doctor may have prescribed for you. You want to write down whether or not there have been some side effects from this medication, whether or not there have been some symptoms, like, for example, you know, a headache or dry mouth from this medication, or an upset stomach from this medication. And like I said, you want to write these down. And for those of us that are a little more tech savvy, there are all kinds of apps that are you can put on your phone, or on everybody's phone, there's a memo pad. It's either called voice memo or some kind of memo that you can put those on your phone and be able to take it with you. Another example could be if the doctor, let's say, talked about a particular treatment for an illness that you have, and they wanted you to think about it. Well, some of those questions could be, why are you recommending this treatment? Or tell me about this treatment. Or are there side effects and what should I expect? Ask maybe what's the outcome of the treatment, meaning is it going to cure my health problem? Is it going to control my health problem? Or is it going to delay my health problem from getting worse? Really be specific with your questions. I want to share some more information with you about being your own health advocate that I read on WebMD. It's from an article by Susan Bernstein, and it was reviewed by Dr. Bruna Nazario. And this is from April 26, 2023. And the article is entitled, What's a Healthcare Advocate? So the question that the article starts off with is by asking you, how can you feel more in control of your health and your ongoing care? And the answer? Be your own health advocate. Why is that important? Well, this article says that successful health advocates feel more confident about the choices they make with their doctors. And in all honesty, they're often healthier or even live lives that are much longer than people who let other people make their healthcare decisions. Now, in some cases, other people have to make your healthcare decisions. So this is just focusing on your ability to make these decisions by yourself. You can have the assistance of someone else that you trust, that you can have a conversation with to really help you focus on, you know, the questions that you want to ask when you go to see the doctor. Healthcare advocates take control of their healthcare experience. You and your doctor must make decisions as a team. And before, when I talked about, you know, how healthcare is focusing on patient-centered care, you know, and care from the patient's perspective, it is your team, and you are in the middle of this team. So you're the one that speaks up with your questions, your needs, your concerns, and your preferences. So you want to take a little bit of time to think about those health goals. You want to ask yourself about what is a good quality of life for you and what matters most to you when it comes to your health. Now, I'll also say a lot of times people don't start talking about quality of life until they have like a terminal illness or they've been sick for a while or they're in rehab or they've been given, you know, a diagnosis that's really going to require a lot of care around being well. But I say your quality of life is how you live every day. So focusing on that, to me, is advocacy. As a healthcare advocate, you do have to do your part. You know, when the doctor makes these recommendations, you do want to follow those recommendations by taking your medications as prescribed, for example. Or if your doctor makes recommendations about your diet, exercise, rest, smoking, or alcohol use, you really do want to follow those recommendations. But you can also have that conversation to ask, why are you prescribing this medication? Or tell me more about my exercise, you know, my diet. You can be proactive if there are concerns around your diet or having diabetes or any other illness that we know will have an impact with education around diet and lifestyle changes. You can ask the doctor to go more into that because your relationship with your doctor really should be open, it should be honest, and it should be trusting. Because once again, like I said, you and your doctor are partners. So they should listen to your concerns and answer your questions so that you feel comfortable. But to establish that relationship and be your own advocate, once again, have that list that you can come in. Prioritize the things that you really want to talk about so that you can spend the time getting the answers to the questions that you have and see how your doctor is really responding to you. You want your doctor to be actively listening, which means that you feel that they hear you and there's a conversation that's engaging. And that doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. You should also feel comfortable talking to your doctor about sensitive subjects. And once again, that really goes back to your level of trust and how your doctor has gained or earned your level of trust. Another important piece about respecting each other's time, we know that a lot of times we show up for our appointments on time, but for some reason, you know, the doctor might be running late. But once again, if you have your questions ready, then focusing on the things that are really, really important to you for this visit, then you can have the conversation so that the doctor can answer those questions and you really don't feel rushed. But if it happens that you're not able to finish your list of questions, then schedule another appointment to have more time to talk to the doctor. You want to be open and honest. And the way to do that is to come prepared, as I said. So it also is helpful with that list that you have to maybe sometimes keep it in a notebook, keep it in a folder. And the details that you want to really have in there are those symptoms that we talked about of some health issues that you've been having, your current prescriptions, if you have questions about your medications. If it's a new doctor, you want to try to have your past medical record so that that doctor knows your health history. If possible, get lab results and some x-ray results. And we know that a lot of the hospitals now have an electronic medical system, medical record system that you can go online for. Now, true, sometimes it's very difficult to navigate. So if you don't have anyone that can help you with that, just try to jot these things down from the best of your memory. Also, it's helpful if you know your family history of certain things, like if you've had a family member that's had that has diabetes or has high blood pressure or that's had a stroke or any problems with any kind of diseases, allergies, things like that. You want to write that down. You want to also, if you don't want to bring all of your medications in the bottles, and this article sometimes suggests that even though it's your same doctor, bring those medications, because sometimes you do see other doctors. And yes, it can be in your record, but if you have those bottles of medication there, you can go over them. Or if you have them written down, and that means the name of the medication, the dose of the medication that you're on, how often you take it, when was it prescribed, why was it prescribed. And don't forget about the over-the-counter medications. And over-the-counter medications just means medications that were not prescribed. So that would include vitamins, herbal supplements, any other kind of supplements that you take, or any other remedies, like a lot of people take Tylenol or Motrin or ibuprofen, Advil, those kinds of things that are over-the-counter. Make sure that you include those with your medication list. And also, let the doctor know that whether or not you've had any changes in your health since the last visit. Things like your appetite, if it has decreased, or your energy level, or bathroom habits. And by bathroom habits, I mean, you know, you're going to the bathroom a little bit more than you feel you should, or a little bit less than you feel you should, or your ability to sleep. And in the future, we're going to be talking about mindful aging and sleep and the effect that lack of sleep has on a lot of our body systems. But really important to talk about whether or not you're sleeping well. Don't assume that any experience is not important. So as I said, you are listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. This is the Mindful Aging Show. And we're going to take a quick pause. And on the other side, we will be back and we'll continue talking about how you can be your best advocate. Welcome back to the Mindful Aging Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. My name is Sebra B., and I am your host. So before the break, we were talking about ways to be your best healthcare advocate. And I want to go on to doing your health homework about yourself before and after each doctor's visit. So if you have a diagnosis, you want to ask the doctor, well, what does that mean? And have them break it down to you in a language that you can understand or in a way that you can understand. Many times when we go to the doctor will use some words, and we don't want to say, I have no idea what you're talking about. We just say, yes, Yes, yes. And then we run to Google and look the word up. And sometimes we can understand that, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's very, very complex. So it's really, really important for you to ask those questions. But if you choose to wait, look it up on the internet, write down what you have seen and what you've learned on the internet about whatever your disease or the treatment options are, and at your next visit, present that to the doctor and say, this is what I understood from what I'm reading. Can you give me more information, or am I understanding it correctly? And that also goes for your medications. You know, when you talk about your treatments, you want to make sure that you really understand. For example, if you are diagnosed with oxygen, say something happens and you have to go home on oxygen, and, you know, from your doctor's office, well, you need to make sure that you know how that works. And even though an agency is going to come in and set that up, talk to your doctor about that. If you don't understand what a condition is, what a treatment does, or how you should take something, make sure, like I said, that the doctor's giving you information and wording that you can understand. In terms of being your own health advocate, it really comes down to education. And this is a step that you have to take. This is empowerment that you have to take. And you can do it. Now, some people might say, yeah, it's a little tedious to be writing all of this information down. You can get someone to help you. You can get somebody to even write it down for you as you're thinking and they're writing it for you. What you will find is you will have a collection of your notes, a collection of your questions, and you can go back and see over a period of time if they were answered, if you're comfortable with the answer that you got, so that you can review, if you have to, with your doctor. So I'm going back to when I started and I was talking about change. And for some of us, just the fact that we are taking the time to write our questions down, to make sure that the most important questions that we have are, and the most important issues that we have are addressed first, to make sure that we're clear about what we talked about in our doctor's visits, to make sure you feel comfortable with your doctor. And it's all right for you to tell them, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, and I don't feel like you're explaining it to me well, and I want to feel comfortable with you. I actually am going to challenge you. The next time you go to your doctor, I want you to think about saying however you need to say it, I want to have a partnership with you. Or if you feel that way, I want you to tell your doctor or your provider, I really like coming to you because I feel like we have a partnership. I feel like you listen to me. That is empowering, because that's the first step for you to feel comfortable to express what you need to express so that you can move forward with that relationship that is truly patient-focused and truly patient-centered. So that would be the first step in change. And that change is becoming your own health advocate. You've been listening to the Mindful Aging Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's radio station. As we move forward, we'll be talking more about mindful aging.